Attention everyone, please. This is the regular second planning board meeting of the month. It's February 11th, 2026. This meeting's been advertised pursuant to Public Law 231, also known as Open Public Meeting Act. And we're going to go to a flex.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Allegretto?
Here.
Mr. Barnes?
Here.
Mr. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Birch? Mrs. Halliday? Mr. Jessel? Mr. Loper?
Here.
Mr. Shepherd?
Here.
Mr. Stell? Dr. Vandeshore? Electronic devices.
Anybody that has electronic devices, put them on mute or silent or whatever, because these things are sensitive and they'll pick it all up and interrupt it. And if anybody's had to listen to one of these tapes at some point in their life, it's not fun when there's a lot of interruptions. I'm going to go to my first. The agenda is going to hold the way it is. One, two, three. The first thing on the agenda is PBA 25-006 Whale Beach Builders LLC, 858 Asbury Avenue, Block 807, Lot 12, CB Zone. Mr. Titler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. For the record, Mr. Chairman, the applicant, as you mentioned, this is the application of Whale Beach Builders. That entity is the owner of the property at 858 Asbury Avenue. You mentioned the lot is 12, lot 807 is correct. The property's undersized interior lot. It measures 30 feet by 100 feet. It's located in the CB zone and it's vacant. The applicant here tonight seeking approval to construct a new three-story mixed-use building that's going to have a commercial first floor and residential units on the second and third floor. In addition to site plan approval and conditional use variance relief for the project, the applicant requires variance relief for lot area, lot width, minimum commercial floor area, number of parking spaces for residential use, and the inclusion of front porches and decks. The testimony and evidence will indicate these variances are a direct result of the lot being extremely undersized. As the board is very well aware, the minimum lot size for the CB zone is 6,000 square feet with 60 feet of lot width and frontage. Subject property is only 3,000 square feet with 30 feet of lot width and frontage with no adjacent land available for purchase. This interior lot size created an undue hardship on the applicant, making compliance with these conditions nearly impossible. As a result of the requested variances, can be granted under the C1 standard as the undersized lot creates design challenges and practical difficulties in developing the property in a conforming manner. Requested variances can also be granted under the C2 standard at the applicant is proposing to construct a conforming building that meets the spirit, intent, and purpose of the CB's land and promoting a more desirable visual environment through creative development techniques. The positive aspects grant its application on the negative aspects. As a result, the testimony and evidence will indicate that there is no substantial detriment to the public being granted variance is not substantially for the intent or purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance. The applicant intends on calling one witness tonight, that's the project architect, Christopher Howard.
Please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to get to this board will be the truth.
I do.
Please state your name.
Christopher Halliday.
Mr. Halliday has been in front of us on many occasions. We are familiar with his credentials, and you may proceed.
Mr. Halliday, can you provide the board an overview of the application, please?
Sure. The owner, 858 Asbury Avenue, came to us to assist with the design of a new mixed-use building on that proposed site. As you informed the board, the site is 30 feet wide, 3,000 square feet. The design of the building is a shingle-style building that would fit nicely along Asbury Avenue downtown. The front of the building emphasizes the commercial storefront with two residential units above, both with exterior decks overlooking the commercial thoroughfare. We designed a commercial space to match the scale of other commercial units on Asbury Avenue, while also allowing for adequate parking and ADA access to the building. The square footage of the commercial space is similar to those units along the CB zone, CB1 zone on Asbury. The commercial space is raised about 2 feet off the ground just to get that commercial floor at slightly at elevation 7. The remainder of that commercial will be flood-proofed with flood panels in order to protect it from future storms. That 2 feet raise was determined by just allowing for that ADA ramp to ramp up from the sidewalk to the commercial to provide access there. While also trying to get us slightly above the ground so that nuisance flooding in the future won't impact the commercial.
Let's go through the variances we need tonight, Chris. A lot it's impossible to get a fully conforming commercial storefront or commercial store area with parking. Would that be an accurate statement?
Right. The parking and circulation in and out of the building drive the fact that the footprint is smaller than that 50% allowed by the zone. If we were on a bigger lot, then we could move things around and allow for adequate parking in the back and still allow for us to have that 50% of the lot area towards the commercial. We felt that having that more discreet ADA access to the side rather than just a 25-foot ramp in front of the building was just more aesthetically pleasing for the frontage, which is why we put it to the side rather than in front of the building.
But what we're proposing tonight is completely consistent with every other mixed-use building on a 30 by 100 lot in that zone. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's similar to 7th and 8th Street on Asbury as well. We had the opportunity to have a unit on Asbury on 7th Street, and it was actually a 40-foot lot. It was subdivided by two, so it's 20-foot wide. And that space is now a retail space that's doing well. This is like a similar square footage to your Sunrose bookstore or other retail establishments along Asbury Avenue.
Okay. We also need a variance for number of residential parking spaces. We need, according to the board, one. Can you touch on that a little bit in terms of how that plays into our standards and sort of a new standard that's being adhered to?
Sure. There, every four-bedroom duplex on the island, each unit is required to have two parking spaces. This is because RSI standards, a duplex matches the requirement for single-family homes. So single-family homes, three- and four-bedroom homes are required to have two parking spaces. Five-bedroom homes are required to have three parking spaces. And that's how the zoning office interprets the duplexes as well. In the RSI standards, in the tabulation, it says duplexes shall be interpreted just as single-family homes for each unit. So that's how we interpreted it, that each unit, four bedrooms, would require two spaces, and that's what we provided. So that's as a by-right duplex in front of the zoning office. That's how the zoning office interprets that as well.
And that's consistent with, again, every other mixed-use building that's been constructed on Asbury Avenue in the last, I would say, reasonably distant future.
Correct. The last one that we did was the Claus building, which is four bedroom, and they had the two parking spaces in the driveway, two parking spaces in the driveway in the garage, and that was a conforming parking requirement.
Okay. We need variance for having inclusion of porches and decks, which again is another consistent feature that the board and the public seems to like on these mixed use buildings, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And we don't have a truck berth, nor do we need a truck berth.
That's correct. We don't anticipate large trucks loading and unloading here. It's also worth noting that directly behind this lot is additional parking at that pocket park on 9th and West. There are parking spaces right behind there that for public use. And then we're fortunate to have the lot behind us within a block for additional overflow parking.
Okay. And we're not sure about the commercial use, but whatever that commercial use, it'll have to have conforming parking, or it'll be coming back before some board, correct?
That's correct. Retail establishments, food establishments do not require parking, and that's what we anticipate going into kind of this area. If a professional office, for example, which is not a allowable use in the CD zone, were to want to go in this space, they would have to come back in front of this board
or
the zoning board to get parking relief.
All right, all of the variances are directly related to the undersized lot, is that correct?
That's correct.
And we touched on this already. The zone requires 6,000 square feet, we have three.
That's correct.
60 feet in width, the zone requires, we have 30.
Correct.
In addition to the variances you just mentioned, we also need a conditional use variance, is that correct?
Yes.
For the residential units?
Yes, for the residential units.
All right. And they're permitted conditionally in a mixed use building in this zone?
They are.
And we comply with all those conditions?
Correct.
The lot size, that's an existing non-conforming condition. We didn't create that condition, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and that lot size, I created design challenges for you?
It makes everything smaller. So everything's tighter on the lot. You give up more space to circulation as well as parking. The proposed building coverage, in order to allow for front access ADA ramps, the parking in the back is 28% less than what is allowed by the zone. And that is just because we're trying to fit parking, circulation, and access to the lot.
And there's no land available for purchase on either side, correct?
Correct.
All right. So, despite having this inferior lot size, the proposed building that we're presenting tonight is below the maximum threshold for building coverage. Is that correct?
That's correct.
By approximately 28%?
Correct.
All right. And our rear yard setback is 6.5 feet greater than what it could be?
That's right.
And our impervious coverage is under the threshold?
It is.
And you testified to this. I just want to make sure we're clear. You've designed this building to be consistent with other mixed-use buildings in this zone, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we meet the required stories. We meet the required height. We exceed the required commercial glazing. Again, to emphasize the commercial aspect on Asbury Avenue, and we meet the requirements for the signage ordinance.
In your professional opinion, can the variance be granted under the C1 or hardship standard?
Yes.
It's a classic hardship case.
It is.
Undersized lot, no land available for purchase on either side.
It's very similar to any new mixed-use building that's been built on Asbury Avenue.
In your professional opinion, can the variance also be granted under the C2 or flexible standard?
Yes.
And that's for several purposes, zoning area, being met under the municipal land use law, correct?
Correct.
Let's go through some of them. Obviously, constructing building meets the spirit and intent of the CD zone, correct?
That's correct.
Consistent with other properties along this stretch?
Yes.
All right. Floodproofing it?
Floodproofing it, as well as getting it slightly above the ground. And with all the new requirements coming down, we do anticipate kind of floodproofing that whole first ground floor in order to prevent any future issues with storms.
And accessibility, you talked about the ADA ramp, the building's going to be accessible?
Yes.
All right. And you're promoting and creating a desirable environment?
I think to attract the building. Correct.
Any detriment to the public good the board sees fit to make the application?
No.
Any substantial impairment to the intent, purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance?
No, I think the variance that we're asking for are due to the fact that this is an existing undersized lot, which is not atypical in the CD zone along Asbury Avenue. It's a 30-foot wide lot, or many, it's a 30-foot wide lot on Asbury Avenue in the CD zone.
Would you testify not only is it atypical, it's typical?
Yes, it's more typical than a 60.
So not only does it not impair the intent purpose of the zone plan, it fits squarely within the zone plan and the zoning ordinance for the zone, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so it's your testimony of the negative criteria for that?
Yes.
Here's all the questions I have of Mr. Halliday, the applicant, rest of the moment.
Any questions from the board to the applicant?
Yes, I have a quick question. This is the plans, Tommy. So in the front there, so I guess the landscape is going to like small trees, or I guess by the steps, looks like. What would that be?
Just some shrubbery. We're also planning on having the water utility well in the front there, so okay. It's not in the sidewalk.
Right. Okay, because it looks like there's two trees that are already there, so you're not touching, you're not adding any more trees.
We're not, we have three trees on either side of the property.
You're not touching them,
No.
I saw a tree in the back, I know where a tree would be going.
Gotcha.
On the plants, I wasn't sure if something, I missed something.
And there's an existing bench there as well.
Right. And I guess along the north side, that's all just going to be grass. It says irrigation, landscaping. What's going to be? What do you imagine there? Well, because a lot of times, as you know, these buildings sometimes the one side they go to the property line.
Yep.
Where here we're creating your vegetation, which normally doesn't occur.
So where the ADA ramp stops, yeah, you will have. There's a 4-foot buffer there. Where we will have some pervious surface, including
right.
grass. Yep.
Okay.
And then on the domino side, dominoes is actually pulled back about 2 feet from the property line.
Right.
So we're allowing 2 feet just for maintenance of the building so that we do have some windows up there for natural light, but that way if there is issues with flood prevention or waterproofing, people can actually get access to the site. It's not a true building to building because
right.
we didn't have that instance with the Domino's building.
Gotcha. Okay. And it seems like the retail space is a little touch small under 1,000 square feet, right? Normally they tend to be around 1,000 or 1,100.
Yep. We're at 965 square feet, so right about 1,000 square feet.
Right.
Any other board questions? At this point, I'm going to go to Mr. Shule, our planner.
Mr. Chairman, this is my report. January 6th, it was updated, revised. January 13th, as a result of a planning board subcommittee meeting on January 12th. Really very little substantive comments in my report. It's an application for a mixed-use building requiring preliminary final site plan conditional use for the residential on the second and third floors. Application was deemed complete subject to the waivers that were requested. Applicant provided testimony regarding the variances that are outlined on page 6 of my report in the zoning conformance table. Just want to make sure the board is aware that the minimum lot frontage, minimum lot depth are grandfathered, even though they are seemingly non-conforming but grandfathered by a section of the code, whereas the minimum lot area and lot width are not for some reason. So the applicant's requested the appropriate variances for those two items and for minimum commercial floor area and for residential parking, where 2.5 are required and 2 per unit are being proposed. The summary variances includes all of those items in addition to the front porches and decks, which are not permitted in the zone, and the truck berth. Review comments, again, are basically addressed at this point. The applicant has provided compelling testimony regarding the variances. They've also addressed the conditional use standards for the residential. And that's really the extent of my report. The board is inclined to approve. Conditional use or conditions of preliminary and final site plan are contained on page 9 and 10 of my report. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Shule, anyone? Seeing none, I'm going to go to Mr. Scheidick for his report.
Thank you, Chairman and board members. Our report was December 29, 2025. I concur with all the variance relief that Randy has gone over and the applicant has identified in their testimony. The only other thing that should be added to that, this property is in the special improvement district, which requires French gray curb and sidewalk. There wasn't a specific request for waiver of that. I turn to the applicant for comments on that.
Request a waiver for that.
So there's a waiver request for that. I have some technical comments in my report that need to be addressed with compliance plans. The curb along the entire frontage will be replaced as part of this application. Sidewalk and gutter is noted on the plan, but curb is not. So I wanted to make sure that was on the record, that that will be included in that replacement along the frontage.
Yes.
I like the fact that the water meter is not in the sidewalk. That's been a great thing. So I have nothing further, subject to the applicant addressing the minor technical comments in my letter.
Any questions from the board for Mr. Scheidick?
So, did I hear that right? The French gray requirement is, they're asking for a waiver for that?
Correct.
So will that not match with us?
None of it. So the French gray doesn't seem to match anyway. There's so many versions of French gray out there. It becomes like a hodgepodge, in my opinion, of the different colors out there.
Just want to be sure that this gets approved, that we have a cohesive environment there, and that we're not giving waivers to something that... We requested a waiver for every single one of these with the French gray. I mean, that's just the way it goes. It's in the ordinance, it's never followed, and it doesn't match. No, I understand that, but what's there now versus what you propose to do? We'll put whatever the board's inclined to advise us to do. It's not really an issue.
I mean, right now it's a little sidewalk with Johnson's written in there. Right.
Matches best as possible. That's perfect.
I do have French gray in the detail for the sidewalk. So.
Knowing Chris, he's got the details. So I'm okay with that.
But it's always amazed me that the contract companies can't match the
dye. I just want to see uniformity.
You're not going to see it with the French gray.
Well, yeah. As close as
no matter how many times we do it, it's never the same.
Not white and black.
It's always different.
And this one's mixed different.
I digress. Go ahead.
So is that a
any
yes?
Other questions?
Yes or no to the waiver? Or we're going to vote on it?
I think it's a yes, according to Mr. Becker.
Well, that's my opinion. I'm speaking for the whole board.
I yield to Mr. Becker.
I yield to Mr. Becker.
Yeah. Okay, so it's going to be waived.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Just the intent was great, but the application doesn't always work out. Because it's
the eye of the whole I just wanted to be on the record to match the best as possible. Duly noted.
At this point, I'd like to open it up to the public. Do I have a motion? Do I have a second? All in favor? Okay, for practical purposes, we're at 858 Asbury Avenue. Anyone from the public have any comment? I'm going to start on this side and work my way back.
Hi, Al Richter, 1023 Westwood.
Can you please raise your right hand? You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes.
Can you spell your last name, please?
R-I-C-H-T-E-R.
What was your address again?
1023 Wesley Avenue.
Thank you. I know it's Alan.
Alan, A-L-A-N. Okay. I just would like to say that I would ask the board to take a hard look at these applications, particularly downtown, that are asking for parking waivers. I have personal experience. We used to have a place at 1046 Asbury, three-bedroom condo, third floor, and two parking spots for each of the three-bedroom condos. When we were there, if my wife and I came down separately, that took two parking spots. Any guests we had at that point had to find parking elsewhere, which is not easy in that area. The second floor rented. And I can't explain some of the crazy crap, including them parking in our spots that would happen, or parking in parts that weren't legal to park in. I know that there have been other four-bedroom condo units approved on Asbury with only two parking, but I would ask the board to start reconsidering that. It is not a hardship if they were to just create two three-bedroom condos instead of two four-bedroom condos. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on this side have a comment? Come forward, please. Be sworn, name and address.
Nancy Notaro, 11th and Central. And I just...
Ma'am,
yes.
Hold on.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give this board will be the truth?
Yes, I do. I just wanted to make a comment talking about the colors of the sidewalk. Is there any way to keep the Johnstones in the sidewalk there?
Anybody else on this side have a comment? Do I have a motion to close the public?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public is closed. Back to the applicant for closing.
Mr. Halliday is going to address that comment regarding the, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, there's an old Johnson's, from Johnson Appliance inlay in the sidewalk that's there now. If we can keep it, I'd love to keep it. You know, I think it has nice nostalgia. I think with the amount of heavy equipment and lifts with any construction site, it's just difficult. So we can certainly ply with the sidewalk in front of the building during construction. And I know the builder, you know, he's a local guy. He would want to keep it. So we can try. It's difficult with the weight of the equipment used to, just for the siders, for people bringing in countertops, appliances, like they use these big lifts. So it can be difficult to not crack the sidewalks. But I'm sure that we can put notes in, and I can put a protection plan in just to use 3/4-inch plywood to lay it down on top of the sidewalk. But I not guaranteed. Mr. Loper, Mr. Adams would probably know about that constructability and whether it would be successful more so than me just in the everyday tear of these job sites, which is why we typically have sidewalks, curving, and gutter replaced on every one of these projects because they get damaged.
Plus, so, what is the condition of the existing currently?
The Johnson's sign is legible. It has some cracks. There's some typical freeze cracks that you would typically see around town from that sign. That inlay has probably been there for 60 years plus.
Probably more.
Yeah.
And the concrete quality of that probably is not as great as it should be back in the day.
So I'd say we could try. We could try putting the plans to try to protect it. I'm not opposed to it. I you know, those little quirks make Ocean City the way it is.
Well, I agree that you know, I've been over there a while, but when Loris was there and I was over there on Valentine's Day, it is a nice bit of nostalgia, and you have time to put the front yard setback. Today we have machines with booms and things like that. It is very difficult, as I know, you know, to build a building like this and maintain the 60 plus whatever year old sidewalk without any damages. And it is in a
I think doing like pressure treated plywood would, and that way we could actually ramp that plywood down to the sidewalk so that it would be accessible during construction. People wouldn't be a tripping hazard. I think that would be fine.
Question though.
Yeah.
Good thing about constructing this, right? So you're going to put new curb, new sidewalk in, then you're going to try to put in the minimum ADA. I mean, new gutter, new curb, right? Okay. So now you're going to have 6-inch reveal curb there.
Yep.
And you're going to try to meet ADA requirements, and then you're going to try to get up to some elevated area adjacent to the building so that your ramp works.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering how that's going to work. So are we talking about replacing curb and part of the sidewalk and leaving that strip that we're talking about and then the sidewalk on the other side?
I think it would only work if the elevations were
right.
The current plan.
Right now, we are keeping the existing elevations on the curb and sidewalk through, so it would work elevation-wise
okay.
to the ADA ramp. So, I would say we would platform it just, if you were to build a new building and preserve a pool, you build a platform over that pool, and you try to do your best to protect it, and then there is going to be some wear and tear, but you try to refinish that after construction. We could do the same for the sidewalk and just, it would be up to the discretion of the board engineer to review it to make sure it's up to code at the end to make sure that it's safe. And if it's not up to code at the end, then we tried to protect it and we're going to have to replace it anyway.
Was the sloping compliant now, do you know?
Yes, the slope is compliant. Our curb is greater than 6 inches there and we have a gentle slope up to the ADA ramp. So I kept those grades the same.
So may I just ask, though, if this were to be approved, Dave Scheidegg will create the cost estimate,
yes.
But it's going to include full remove and replace the sidewalk.
Can you saw cut the Johnsons out of there or no? Yeah. If your felt still being
you could saw cut it. I think it would you wouldn't be able to remove it. It's just in a 4-inch concrete base.
So
it's not reinforced, there's no rebar.
Yeah.
It's just concrete on there. Yeah.
It's assuming it's a 4-inch base. It could be God knows what.
Depends on the masonry on that day.
A lot of those sidewalks that have been replaced along Asbury, the curve is low. And they have to meet the ADA requirement, there's a pitch going into the street, which creates a lot of problems with a higher curb. Does help that.
I've learned from previous projects to not count every inch from Mr. Scheidegg. So I have left the structure. I have a compliant ADA ramp so that there's no issue at the end. We know that our ADA ramp will work with the existing sidewalk. We have a conforming 6-inch curb, so everything will die in. You won't have any alpine skiing on Asbury Avenue sidewalks there. There won't be any big slopes.
A little treacherous in there.
Yeah. So I guess I'll testify to say we will try and prepare a plan, but our cost estimate will be, it's going to cost more to protect it because most likely you're going to have to repair it anyway at the end. So we'll try to put in there the notes to try to protect it, and if we can, we will. Make sense?
Thank you.
I don't really have much in conclusion other than just to say it's a completely consistent building with what's been approved by this board, what's been built all along Asbury Avenue, parts of West Avenue, and really what the vision and intent of the CV zone is, and this is going to be a really nice addition to that piece of property.
My turn?
Your turn.
May I have a motion in the affirmative for approval of applicant's application for preliminary and final major site plan approval, conditional use approval, and the variances that we've gone over tonight for all the lot width, commercial floor area, truck berth, the front porch deck, and I'm not sure if the architectural projections still need to be.
No.
No.
We're
good.
Residential parking.
Based
on Adams.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto?
I would vote yes. I feel that the variances being asked are variances that seem reasonable for a lot size and the building being built there. Certainly appreciate the applicants taking extra steps to try to maintain the historic value of the front sidewalks. So we appreciate that. I do get a little nervous when we keep making commercial smaller. Because 10 years ago when we agreed this to keep good commercial sizes to attract good businesses, but I would vote yes.
Mr. Barnes?
For the reason previously stated, I'm also going to vote yes. This lot size does create a hardship, and I think you're doing the best you can with that site. I think it's a good plan overall.
Mr. Becker?
I'm also going to vote yes for the previously stated reasons and the porches.
Mr. Shepard?
I vote yes for the previously stated. Thank you.
Mr. Adams?
I'm going to vote yes because, well, for the previously stated reasons, but to further that, if you take a look at the tax, the little clip of the tax map, there's an orange documents here, more than half of that block are much less than 60 feet, probably more like closer to 30 feet, which is what this lot is, and as is most of this district in this zone. I think the zoning at 60 feet for this area is excessive, and I think that this building as designed is really perfect for what that site is. I mean, it's right across the street from us, and we all know what it is and what it could be and what it will be. I am and always have been a big proponent of mixed use, and that's what this is. I think that drives redevelopment, smart redevelopment, and responsible redevelopment. Also, better redevelopment. Take a look at these plans, and it's very well designed, higher end building. To see here, and the only way you can do that is by introducing mixed use for developers to make it worth their while the time to build these sorts of things. So we have three variances. All of them are related to the lot size, which there's nothing they can do about, and it's compliant as is any other zone, which is an R230 zone. So there's no reason in my mind to not vote yes.
Mr. Loper.
For all the reasons previously stated, I'm going to vote yes, and I go strongly on what Mr. Adams just said. In order to develop these, and I'm taking into consideration a comment on parking, in order to develop it, you almost have to drive the financial aspect of the top floors to get fine development in the downtown. And to drive that, you need parking. And if you add parking to the lot, because this is a small lot, you end up losing commercial space on the first floor, and then it turns into the kiosk type of commercial space, which we know is not viable in the downtown. So for all those reasons, I'm holding to my yes vote.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Moving forward, PBA 25-008, V2 Properties at 3402 West Avenue, Block 3404, Lot 7, GW Zone, Gateway Zone. Mr. Teitler again in front of us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Avery Teitler here on behalf of the applicant. We're mentioning the application is brought by V2 Properties, Entity 7. Again, that entity is the owner of 3400 West Avenue. Block is 3306, lot is 2.01, 100 foot by 100 foot in the gateway zone.
The what? The block is what?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
100 foot by 100 foot in the gateway zone.
3404, lot
3404.
7. 3404. Oh, I mean, 3404.
As the board undoubtedly recalls, we were here last month seeking to construct one new mixed-use building with three stories that's going to have two commercial units on an elevated first level and five residential units on the second and third floors. The commercial units are going to consist of 2,900 square feet. The residential units are going to range in square footage from 1,300 square feet to 2,300 square feet. In addition to site plan approval and conditional use variance relief for the project, the applicant requires large relief for commercial ceiling height, building height, total stories, maximum landing size, front yard setback to two parking spaces only, and lack of a truck berth. I only mention this just to refresh the board's recollection. At the tail end of that hearing, there were some suggestions made to amend the plan accordingly to satisfy some board member concerns, potentially some public concerns. Since the last hearing, there have been six important changes that Andrew Bechtold is here tonight to testify about. Five of those changes are made to the plan, which I'm going to go through quickly and are going to be shown on an exhibit that Mr. Bechtel here has tonight and has also been published on the Ocean City website along with the narrative. Number one, all the dens have been removed at every residential unit. They've been replaced with dining spaces, living room spaces, and pantry storage spaces, so there's no dens. Number two, storage areas were added on the ground level where the mechanical room previously was in the plan. The storage areas are under the building, so no coverages, building impervious coverage, have been changed. Number three, a rinse-off area was designed underneath the architectural projection area on the south side of the building. Again, under the building, no coverages are being impacted, impervious or building coverage. This was also a suggestion of, I think, members of the public and also some board members. Number four, the concrete driveway on the west side of the building was revised to be utilized, to utilize pervious pavers, and also a radius was added at the entry as per the engineer's request, board members' request, public request. The net effect of this is that it reduced the impervious coverage down, which Mr. Bechtel is here to testify. Number five, the mechanical room in the northeast corner of the building was moved to the northeast corner of the building. Again, under the building, no coverages have been changed, and this was done to create these beach storage areas that were important to some members of the board in order for the residential units to have storage areas that they could have their beach gear and other amenities. The sixth event, perhaps the most important change that happened since the last hearing, is Governor Murphy signed the New Jersey REAL Act, which was adopted in New Jersey in January. As the board is aware, hopefully, and will be aware by the end of the evening, the REAL Act is going to affect every single property in Ocean City. It's going to affect every single property that's in a flood hazard zone in the state of New Jersey, including this one. The net effect of the REAL Act is going to be that the height of this building is going to be very close to conforming when this rule is adopted. Height variance was one of the variances that was sought. Understand that even though it was only under a 3-foot height variance, still a variance I would consider to be an impactful variance. But that REAL Act is signed. It's here, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be implemented by every town. And as I said, that is going to force any development here to be raised up, and the height is going to be commensurate with what is being proposed tonight. So it's important for the board to note that these changes do not create the need for any additional variance relief, no additional waiver relief. There's going to be a reduction in impervious coverage. Mr. Bechtel is going to get into that, and we have a new law that's going to allow for a higher structure, not only here, but any structure built in Ocean City, and in particular the structures that are residential that are going to be built at some point to the south of here in the residential zone. With that, I'm going to call up Mr. Bechtel and have him testify.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
I do.
And Mr. Bechtel's been in front of us on many occasions. We are familiar with his credentials, and he may proceed.
I just want to make sure the record's clear that Mr. Bechtel is a professional planner in addition to being an architect, and the board's accepted him in that capacity as well.
We understand that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Bechtel, can you go through an overview of the changes that have been made to the building since the last year?
Yes. I'm sorry. So I'm going to start on the ground floor and work my way up. The ground floor area on the southwest side under the architectural bay, there's an area of impervious space. We're going to use that space to create a rinse-off station so people can get the sand off their feet, boogie boards, etc. That was a suggestion that was made at the last meeting. Then where the mechanical space used to be adjacent to the elevator and the entry underneath the building, we created larger storage areas that range in size from almost 5 foot by 8 foot to 4 foot by 10 foot to basically 5 by 5 storage units. So there's a place to bring, put in beach stuff, beach wagon, that kind of thing. The two smaller units, it should be noted, that are 5 by 5 are actually the two units that are on the first residential level where there used to be a den. Those areas are now pantry and storage as well, which are larger spaces that they could potentially have if they needed a bike in there, something like that. On the commercial level, as we come up from the ground floor, that area, I believe one of the board members asked to make sure that the entry So very minor interior changes, but we did create these changes to make the building work a little bit better. Then on the first residential level, all dents have been removed. On the back or on the west unit, we created a dining space adjacent to the kitchen area. It's wide open to the kitchen area, so you have this great room space that then comes into there. Then the other two units that are on the east side, again, their dens have become pantry and storage areas as that space is relatively small. On the top level of the residential units, again, we removed all dens. The dining rooms are adjacent to the kitchens. Both on the west and east side, dining spaces are actually open to the living space. There's no other rooms or any of that kind of thing. And then finally, touching on the other request for potentially having some more pervious surface, we've added the pervious pavers to the west side of the lot. This reduces the impervious coverage by another 10%, which puts us at approximately 69.3%, which is a significant reduction. Again, very, very low for impervious coverage, probably the lowest impervious coverage in the zone.
So those are the five changes to the building structure that we made, and we're going to mark these exhibits. I know we've already submitted them, but we'll mark them into evidence so that they're on file and Jamie has them. The sixth change since the last hearing that I mentioned in my opening is the New Jersey REAL Act, which was adopted in January. That's correct, right?
Yes, it was adopted January 20th of 2026.
It's the last day of Governor Murphy's term, right before he was going out the door. Is that correct?
Apparently 2 hours, yes.
All right, so you've become, I don't want to say an expert, but you've become pretty well versed in this act over the last couple of months and very recently. Would that be a fair statement?
I've been in contact with multiple floodplain managers, including those of Ocean City, Margate, Atlantic City, Seattle, et cetera, yes.
All right. And this New Jersey REAL Act, this isn't a permissive piece of legislation, this is a mandatory piece of legislation.
It absolutely is. Obviously, as the council already did a first reading of modifying the height of buildings in Ocean City as of a week ago tomorrow.
So this is going to affect every property in Ocean City in some way, shape, or form, including this one. Would that be correct?
Yes. The governor basically mandated that all buildings need to be raised higher.
And the net effect for what we're here tonight is that the height of this building at some point is going to be higher than what's permitted based upon this New Jersey REAL Act. So let me ask the question a different way. That wasn't asked properly. The threshold at some point, limitation to building height, is going to be higher based upon this act. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. So it would be fair to say that right now we need a height variance because of the fact that we're exceeding the height by just under 3 feet. In the future, this building is going to be either close to conforming or conforming for height based upon this act.
Yes.
Okay. The changes that you made to the plan, they do not affect any of the variance relief that we were seeking, correct?
No, they do not.
All right. And we've reduced impervious coverage by 10%, you mentioned, correct?
Yes, we have.
All right. Just so we're clear, we don't need a side yard setback variance, number of parking spaces variance. The parking is fully compliant, correct?
Fully compliant.
Residential and commercial.
Yes,
and those changes underneath the building do not impact parking at all?
None of the changes that we made affect the parking in any way, shape, or form.
All right. Would it be your testimony as a professional planner that the changes that we made to this building provide a better zoning alternative for this property?
Yes, absolutely. We provided those extra storage spaces for amenities for the residents, but we've improved the commercial space, and we made the building a better neighbor by reducing impervious coverage further than anybody in this entire zone.
All right. And the REAL Act is going to ensure that what we're proposing here is going to be consistent with other projects in the neighborhood. Would that be fair?
Yes.
And in fact, the George property is already not only the same height as what we're proposing, but higher.
Yes, a few inches higher. Yes, that's correct.
And the Randazzo property is commensurate with our height, maybe a few inches shorter, correct?
Just a few inches. That is correct.
All right. So I'm going to ask you the standards here for C2. We've already put them on the record, but I want to make sure that the board understands them. In your professional opinion, the variances that are requested, and they're the same variances that we went forth at the last hearing, can be granted under the C2 standard because several purposes of zoning are being met under municipal land use law, correct?
That is correct.
All right. We're constructing a building that meets the spirit and intent of the gateway zone, that's correct?
Yes.
All right. And we're keeping the larger lot size. And the larger lot size, why that's important, is because that is compliant with the master plan. The master plan called for larger lot sizes in the gateway zone, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And this is also, not only are we keeping the larger lot size, but by doing that, we're consistent with the master plan, but you're also consistent with other mixed-use developments in the gateway zone, including other properties on Asbury Avenue that have already been developed, correct?
That is correct.
All right. The commercial units are going to be out of the floodplain one way or the other, correct?
They are. They will indeed be out of the floodplain, yes.
All right. We're providing fully conforming parking for this site.
Yes.
Which none of the other mixed-use buildings that have been approved have.
Correct.
Okay. You're below the maximum threshold for building coverage significantly, correct?
Yes.
And now impervious coverage significantly.
Yes.
All right. And we are also promoting and creating a desirable visual environment for the gateway.
Yes. Correct? Yes, we believe so.
All right. So based upon everything that you've just testified to, in particular the changes to the plan and the New Jersey REAL Act, will there be a substantial detriment to the public good if the board sees fit to grant the application?
No, I do not see any detriment to the public good.
Okay. Any substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance, specifically the gateway zone?
No. None.
And would it be your testimony as a professional planner that this building meets the spirit and intent of the gateway zone as outlined in the zone purpose?
It is, and it's consistent with the other development that's been approved.
Okay. So it's your testimony that the negative criteria has been satisfied?
Yes.
Okay. Those are all the questions I have, Mr. Bechtold. I've purposefully kept the presentation short and focused solely on the changes that were made to the plan since the last hearing. At this point, the applicant rests.
Questions to the applicant at this point?
I have some questions. So obviously this REAL Act is going to create some problems, some challenges, I should say, for construction. Right now, what's the base flood elevation there, do you know?
Base flood is 9.
It's 9 feet?
Yes, sir.
And where was our construction starting here?
Our construction is 14.09, which is base flood plus 5.
So
our first floor is exactly where it should be based on the new REAL rules. Any new building that is built on this block, inclusive of the single families that are there, will be up at the same height as this first finished floor. Every single one.
That was my concern. Were you squeezing the building or were you stretching the building? Were you keeping the building the same?
Yes, sir. And we're providing parking under the entire building.
That's it. Thank you. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, you still the other variance is about the, which is, I think, if you could explain more about that. Why do you have to have this extra half story? 2.5 allowed. Why do you have to have 3? I mean, how would 2.5 negatively affect this building if it's 2.5? Why do you necessarily make it 3?
I think, again, it's the consistency. All the other mixed-use development that has been done on this block or in this zone has all been 3-story. We happen to now have our parking underneath the entire building, which is great. I think it's a good thing for everything. It's basically what the REAL rules want you to do. Get the buildings up, provide the parking, cars can leave the island, building stays good, doesn't flood out. Again, it's consistent with the height of everybody else that has been approved by the mixed uses.
They actually have stories in effect height. This makes the third floor longer.
Correct.
You're just saying height, but this makes it...
Correct. It increases the volume on the top floor, yes. But all the other development that's been in this zone for mixed-use purposes, it's been the same on both levels.
So all the other mixed-use, do they have the same size lot? They're all this big?
They're actually small. But they are conforming.
This has more space to begin with to build a bigger building.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes. But those other buildings, again, were on lots that were 7,000 square feet, and they had 4 units. We have 5. So we have 1 unit bigger, but we're on a lot that's 3,000 square feet larger. And those buildings ask for multiple variances for side yard, front yard, rear yard. You know, those things help you create a larger floor plate to cram more stuff in. We're respecting all the setback variances and only asking for height, which to me makes the most sense.
You keep saying height, but you're asking for more, an extra half story, which isn't height, it's width.
It's
So you keep saying height, though, but you're not asking for height for an extra half story. That's width.
Correct. It's volume on the top floor.
Well, yes. Yeah. So yes. You keep saying height, though, but that's not. That's totally different. That's a different variance.
Yes, sir.
Than extra parish story.
Yes, sir.
So my question is, so how would it negatively affect this building if it did 2.5 stories?
First and foremost, it's a very wide structure. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there's been a single building in Ocean City that's been designed that's this wide to have a half story on. It's funny, this is the only zone in the island that has that provision, but nobody's ever followed it. And I don't think people understood the logistics of how you would try to do a half story here, because it would be very difficult to do it. There's lots and lots of rules on how half stories have to be designed by Ocean City, and to me, that's one of the things that doesn't make any sense in this zone.
Right. But I also, this is also a unique lot in Ocean City, because it's probably one of the busiest spots traffic-wise to go through, so certainly going to notice or see this from all sides, but a lot of times you see it from the street.
And that's another reason why we did that mansard roof that we talked about. Again, the idea of the half story was to make it look like it's in the roof. That's kind of that old school architecture thinking that you'd see a lot in Europe, particularly Paris and that kind of thing. We have a mansard style roof to reduce the mass of the structure. That's why we did this. We wanted to make it look as built into the roof as humanly possible. So in essence, giving it a half story feel, but without reducing the mass on the top level to give it the space that it needs.
Anyone else?
Well, to further on that, this zone is 2.5, yes?
Yes.
So what currently is the floor area, third, fourth floor? I don't know, it says four stories here, but it's really third, three stories.
That size is 4,300 square feet.
4,300 square feet on the proposed on the third floor?
Yes.
Or the fourth story?
Yes.
Work?
Yes.
Okay. So it's half of that. 4,300. Half of that. 2,150. Mm-hmm. We had this conversation last time. So we're compliant even with a height variance, because you would need the height variance even if you got a half story, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. To make the ceiling work and everything else.
Correct.
And the roof.
Yeah.
You'd have two commercial units. You'd have three residential on the second floor, or third floor, according to this. You'd have one 2,150 square foot unit on the third floor. Is that right?
Yes, if you were.
If you weren't going for a story variance.
Correct.
I think that's what Mr. Alvarado.
And I understand Joe's comment, but the other issue is it isn't consistent with the other mixed units that
are. That's not it. Whether it is or isn't, that's not relevant.
Dean, just to answer your question, maybe I can answer Mike's question too, and maybe use the chairman's words from the last application. The residential drives it well. It drives it in the downtown, it drives it here as well. And it's important to have the number of units. The number of units isn't a variance here, but it's important to have the residential to drive a successful commercial. Not only on this property.
Completely understood.
Okay, so that's the answer to the question is consistency, and it's also that we need the residential to drive the commercial.
But we're trying to strike a balance between what we can approve as a board and number of variances and so far of a reach. And I'm not saying one or the other or yes or no or anything. We haven't voted yet. Just asking questions right now.
I understand. And you know, I think you brought up striking the balance because this application does exactly that. There's five variances, okay? Five real variances. Two of them I would consider to be variances that are somewhat impactful. The height we talked about, which is going to, you know, who the hell knows what that's going to be. Maybe under when that New Jersey Real Act is finally done. And the total stories. The parking spaces in the front yard is minimal. The landing side. I mean, the other variances are exactly so to your point. Striking a balance is not going in for 13 variances like Nick George's property or 12 like Grand Passes, but going in for five.
But where I was going with this, and I get all that, and I understand the economics of it, as I said in the last time. You guys came here, I don't know how many months ago.
A year ago.
Two buildings,
just about
right.
Yes.
Two buildings, two commercial, two residential.
Four
residential, excuse me. Which would, if you did it that way, it would be the same thing. Okay, the same kind of.
But with all due respect, those were six-bedroom, five-bedroom units.
Okay. We tried that, and then that got unanimously.
I understand. But the past, we're talking about now. So
you brought it up.
I did, but again, I'm just asking questions because everybody wants to know. And I think I could say it best because I know a little bit more about this than others do. If it were one at the top, I'm not saying it should be, but if it were, can it be designed that way? Given the mass of the building, given the size of the lot, can it even be done? Is it even possible?
Technically speaking, it's not about the size of the upper level. It's also about how it's designed.
Well, but you've got a building that's 4,000 whatever square foot footprint, right? And you're going to take half of that and make a dwelling unit out of it. How are you going to cover the rest of the building with roofs and decks and other things?
The rest of it would probably cover in decks. So you may have 4,000 square feet of interior space.
Look at architecture.
I think you're going to look at it like a flat roof, unfortunately.
Yes, and so that's why I'm asking questions. Like,
sure.
Is that, it even possible to do it that way and make a decent piece of architecture
from a consistent
that gateway zone, that corner, that prime time location that we want to see redeveloped into something magnificent so others do it in these gateways, in my opinion, and I don't want to speak for everybody else, as I always say, but our two gateways in this town, they need help, okay? And I want to sit here and say, yeah, go for it, because I want to see these gateways be redeveloped for something nice. And I think one good project leads to another and another and another, but that's why we're asking questions.
Absolutely.
We have to be cognizant of the neighbors, the surroundings, what can or cannot be done, what people may or may not understand. And that's why I'm asking this question.
Sure.
Anyone else? Same.
Can we get the exhibit straight, though? What are you entering the entire packet you gave me, or just those specific sheets?
So you already have the packet.
Yeah.
Which are the sheets that I already went over? This exhibit I will.
What are you going? Oh, so that's a new, totally new exhibit.
Because, again, we changed the impervious coverage, so technically the exhibit changed.
So what do you want to do?
We're going to mark these as exhibits. Everything that he's here is going to mark as exhibits. That's the only way we can do it.
Okay, so forget the packet. You're only going to mark the sheets that you discussed or the whole packet that you gave me, plus that sheet?
Everything, yeah, everything's got to be marked.
So the set of plans I took in as A3, and then that's going to be A4?
Yes. Okay. I want Andrew to answer.
Okay.
Andrew, answer Jamie's question about marking the exhibit.
So the packet I marked A3, and then that's going to be A4?
Yes.
And what is A4?
A4 is a comparison chart of the George's building, the Randazzo's building, our building, and 601 Asbury Avenue.
I'm going to put comparison chart. Yes. And you'll email that, or does it come off?
Yes, I'll send it to you.
Okay. Thank you. Did you get that right?
A3 is a comparison chart of neighboring properties.
Yeah, and A3 is the complete set of revised plans that I emailed to everybody. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? If not, I'm going to go to Mr. Shull for some comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very briefly. The changes proposed by the applicant do not change the variances that were identified in my previous report, recognizing the reduction in impervious coverage. That's always a good thing to see, but they were conforming in the previous application. So the minimum commercial ceiling height is a variance of minimum building height, stories, the landing size. The truck berth are the variances that we're looking at, and for comparison purposes, I know the applicant provided comparison properties each of this. I was curious, though, whether or not how the C-spray, the new C-spray compares with this, because that's certainly in the gateway, that's going to be a significant, I'll say, improvement to the 34th Street corridor. But I don't recall specifics as far as what's being proposed there and how that might compare with what the applicant is proposing.
Mr. Beckwith can testify to that briefly. If the
thank you.
Board.
It is also a four-story structure. It is all raised over parking with three levels above it. It has 43 residential units in it. 32 bedrooms and 13 three-bedroom units. It will be 60 feet tall from 3 feet above base flood elevation. So it will be significantly taller than this, probably by over 20 feet plus, but it's the same amount of stories. And it has a ton of parking underneath it, that's great, but it's all residential use, no commercial whatsoever. This is providing exactly what the Gateway Zone was asking, which is commercial below, with lots and lots of parking, so people, when it starts to flood, can get off the island and not worry about their cars or their stores getting flooded. It's at the exact height where the state wants it to be. And who knows, it could be shorter than what the new height ordinance would allow. I understand the stories issue, but you're talking about if that building was built to Gateway standards that Sea Spray's in now, they could have a whopping, I think it's 21 units, they have 43. And they're four stories. So I don't see how this being only 10,000 square feet where it can only have five, the other one could be almost three times as big as this. We're only proposing three bedroom and four bedroom units. We're not doing a four bedroom and asking for a variance for a parking spot. We got all of our parking spots. You know, we're more consistent with this building than any other building in the Gateway Zone. There's 21 buildings in the Gateway Zone. 21. And of them, none of them are consistent. As far as density is concerned, the condo building, they've got something like 76 units. They should only have 19. The duplex that isn't in our, not the duplex, but the condo that behind this catty corner is also over density. But yes, it is the most consistent building in Gateway Zone.
Mr. Scheidick.
Thank you. Just one comment. I think paragraph 10 of my report asks for some curbing in the back on the alley. And I see your revised PB3 has that exactly what we're looking for. However, we would request that you make that curbing a little longer on the alley and put a taper on it so there's no abrupt curb ends on there. So if you could just extend it by like 5 feet each side, put a curb taper on there. I'm good with that.
Yes, we will.
All the other changes aren't impacted as far as my report's concerned.
Any questions for our professionals from the board? Seeing none. Yes, Mr. Titan?
Yes, for the moment.
Okay, do I have a motion to open it up to the public? Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to open it up to the public. We're at 3400 West Avenue, common address. But I'm going to give you a caveat. We closed the public at the last session. So all we're looking at is what you've heard tonight. Nothing else. No other dialogue. The public was closed at the last session. So keeping that in mind, we're looking at 5-6 items tonight. So I'm going to start right here. Step forward. Name, address for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Jeff.
And I just want everybody to know, if you don't stay focused on what we were talking about tonight, I'm going to shut you down because it's not part of tonight's application. Thank you. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, hi, my name is Jeff Boyd, B-O-Y-D, 3436 West Avenue. Adjacent to the 3400 property, we do have a half floor on our unit as well.
Okay, so please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give this word to be the truth?
Yes. So, first of all, thank you for hearing me out. I do want to say something about the REAL Act, that within the REAL Act, I know this is something that's just been passed, but you're not allowed to just build extra space, you know, build your house higher unless the zoning laws allow it. So it does have to be approved, so we can't just go in and say, hey, we're going to start building higher houses. This has to be approved by the zone, and that was not discussed tonight. Also, I just want to, am I allowed to talk about parking?
No.
No?
Okay.
It was all part of last go around.
Yeah, thank you, and that's really all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you very much. Again, on this side, anyone, please come forward.
Please state your name first.
Robert Koenigsberg.
Can you spell your last name?
K-O-E-N-I-G-S-B-E-R-G. 3420 West.
3220
West? 3420
West. 3420 West. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes. First, I'd like to thank the board for doing what you do. I'd also like to thank and recognize Mr. Tyler and the planner. They do excellent work. There's no question about that. But I feel that we're so close, but a little bit far from the plans. The builder attempted to address five elements that were relatively of minor importance. However, none of the changes addressed our community's concerns. I'd like to start with item number one. All tents have been modified into storage areas or dungeons. However, the square footage remains the same. It's the same large units originally designed for 4 to 5 bedrooms, warranting 3 parking spaces. Even 3 bedrooms warrants 2.5 spaces, so there was still a 3-spot deficiency. I asked for the elimination of one of the 3 bedrooms on the top floor to alleviate the parking congestion and allow for truck berth. Regarding number 3, there has not been an attempt to address the side yard setbacks. Specifically, it does not satisfy separation between the development and Dr. Berger Holmes' house at 3412 West. I request that the fire marshal review this and only approve construction within the appropriate zoning regulations. For this, I see Mr. Barnes is here. I'd like to thank you for this. Mr. Barnes has been quoted as saying, "My main priority is to listen to the folks of Ocean City and to make sure their concerns are met." So thank you for that. This quarter is not 10th in Asbury, nor is it 3301 Bay. Our community has objections to what I see as overdevelopment of this corner, and again, half hotel. The codes are the codes as they exist today, not what they may or may not be tomorrow. I hope that the board listens to our concerns and is mindful of the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, on this side, someone.
My name is Rita Boyd, 3436 West Avenue.
Please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth.
I do. Thank you. All right. There's a lot I'm going to eliminate that you don't need to know that I am prepared to give to you, so I'm going to skip right down to, I bought this property in 2016, and it was a small cottage. But in 2019, my family and myself decided to tear that down and build a new dream home in Ocean City. And when we built that, there were no variances, and it was all within code of Ocean City. Now, it breaks my heart that this family safe atmosphere in Ocean City is going to be affected by this new building on 34th Street. I so enjoy rocking on my front porch, watching the kids at the playground, watching my grandkids play basketball over on the courts, watching them play tennis with their parents. That part will still be there, I know that. But those people that go there and use that property, they park on West Avenue. And we also find that people come in, because it's a main entrance into Ocean City, they come in on 34th Street and park right on West Street to go down to 34th and West.
We have 5 issues in front of us tonight.
Okay, I'm getting to my issue. I want to thank all of you for being on the planning board, and you guide the orderly development of this city, ensuring compliance with zoning ordinances and adopting the master plan. I respectfully encourage you to deny the variances and anything beyond the current codes, as it will have a significant impact on our neighborhood. one that is filled with families that own and maintain their homes, desiring for a safe, family-friendly community. These people are what make up Ocean City to make it the greatest family resort. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm on this side. Someone, anyone, step forward, please.
Jim Berry, 635 Ocean Avenue. I just want to...
Please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes, I do. I just want to thank the planning board. I've been to a couple meetings, and I'm impressed at the way you try to hold on to the past of Ocean City, but yet recognize that the city's going through changes, and we all want a beautiful gateway into the city. And I think the changes that the architect made to the building are fine. I think this building is beautiful, and it's a great addition to Ocean City, and I'd like to see it be passed. Thank you.
And again, on this side, someone, anyone, please come forward. Name and address for the record.
John K. Friday, spelled like the day of the week, 600 block, Asbury Avenue.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Absolutely.
Microphone's yours.
Ms. Rita, you know, my concern is
please address us.
Okay, so like the gentleman said before me, you know, if you come in on the 9th Street, you look to your right, you see a McDonald's closed. You look to your left, you see Republic Bank looking for a new owner. So me, I agree it should be changed. 34th Street, you know, people come into the city and they remember the first thing they seen and the last thing they left out. So beautifying it, you know, let's run Ocean City like you have been doing, like a business, and it's market. It's free market. It's free for Ocean City, it's free for us. Not free for the builder, it's gonna cost them a pretty penny, but it's free market. You know, Ocean City is a bustling city. I came here a couple of years ago for something called Early Bird Catch the Worm, and everybody was dressed in their PJs. I went to my girl and said, we gotta get in Ocean City. And here it is now, business owner in Ocean City, proud to be here. They welcome me, and I would welcome any new project that's going to be look beautiful coming in the city. They're going to bring business. They're going to bring, I already know, tax revenue. They're going to have economic.
We're very narrow. I hate to do this to you, but
I wasn't here last week, so I don't know what y'all talked about last week. I just wanted to, you know,
I appreciate what you're saying, but we're very narrow in our scope. If I let you go out of that scope, everybody in this room is going to go out of that scope.
I understand.
And I can't do that.
But I would like to see this project, if y'all should agree on your variance and agree, I would like to see this project take away.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else on this side? Come forward, please.
Marie Crawford, 835 Howard Place.
Please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes. I don't think it's fair to maximize a building lot and the height and then compare it to properties that are already over maximized and beyond what they probably should be. Especially when you have a residential neighborhood ordering that. And I think that they need to be given the priority. I don't know if truck berth is one of the things on there, but I think they should have a truck berth. And just because the alleys are used for service and all that, why put all this space and then not have an accommodation for the residents in that area? So, It's another example of pushing, and I know a gentleman back there said that it's a beautiful building, and I'm sorry, But if that's on the table, I don't think it's a beautiful building. I think it's very unattractive. So the top floor, open floor on the second floor. So that's a matter of opinion. I don't know what it has to do, but I would prefer to see architecture in Ocean City that has more character to it. So I would like the neighborhood to respect it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, I'm on this side. Anyone? If not, I'm going to jump to the other side. No one? Okay, this side. First person, come forward.
Hello, Devlin Morrison, DevlinMorrison.
Your address?
3424 West Avenue.
Mr. Morrison, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen of the Planning Board, thank you for taking community comments this evening and your service as Planning Board members. It's clear to me the board is committed to the quality and character of the community. The issues we're talking about tonight are on the table. One of them is the south side setback, and we're talking a significant setback there, right, which is the mass of the building. That impacts the mass of the building, which then impacts the whole architectural discussion around number of stories. So all of these things go together.
The setback is not an issue. It falls within the parameters of the zoning.
They were, had to have a 10-foot setback from the south side, and they're requesting a 4-foot variance.
That's not accurate. It's
no,
a fully conforming
it's
setback.
It's fully conforming.
That changed. So
now it's
full 10-foot.
It was always conforming for the last hearing.
It's always been conforming.
And why was there a variance requested at the last hearing?
That was a typo in my report.
Okay.
Indicated the 10-foot. There was a 4-foot architectural projection, which is allowed in that side yard, so it is conforming, and I corrected that, I believe, the last hearing.
Thank you for clarifying.
No problem.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. So let's talk about the 2.5 stories. So decks and roofs don't have bedrooms and don't have associated cars. That's an issue. So having this additional unit on that top floor and all that additional mass with additional bedrooms.
This, again, was not discussed tonight. It was discussed previously.
Okay, it goes to the truck berth idea then and lack of truck berth. So less units, less parking, room for the truck berth. That's an issue.
And it still wasn't discussed, and I don't object to this, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we, again, truck berth wasn't in tonight. There's 5 basic things.
Okay, so what are the 5 basic things?
Modifications that were made to the plan with the addition of storage rooms, rinse off area, mechanical space, reduction of dens from the plan, the increase of pervious space on the lot. And the real ones.
Well, I still think all of those issues are still germane from the last meeting, then. And I thank you for your time.
Let's go again on this side.
Michelle Morrison, 3424 West Avenue.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes. Thank you very much, everyone, for allowing us to speak tonight and provide comments. I will respect the decision to only take comments on the 5 items. I'd like to understand, I know you can't answer at this point, how those 5 came about. I do understand the den situation, which is one of the 5. Thank you for erasing the doors and renaming them storage units or renaming them dining rooms, but you didn't really address the square footage. Number 2, storage added. Thank you. 3, showers. Thank you. Rhetorical question,
How is that additional flooding going to be managed? Is there going to be a drain for the showers? Number four, you talked about, and it was requested by the board, the addition of pervious pavers. It was not necessary. We're thankful as a neighborhood that you added that, but there's still significant concerns about flooding. Right now, today, it's a vacant lot, and it's flooded. It's not high tide, it's not raining, it's just snow, and that corner is flooded, and there's no pavers, no parking, no cement. It's just dirt, and it's underwater, and the alley is in underwater. Number five, you talked about moving the storage unit, the mechanical area, thank you. Number six, you talked about Governor Murphy's REAL Act. As far as Governor Murphy's REAL Act and understanding the height, yes, it's going to impact everyone. That's height. Height, as was comments made tonight, height is different, a different variance than number of floors. We're talking about four floors. What I would like to ask is, where's the next number, that number seven that was brought up last month by Mr. Adams, which was, is it possible that the fourth floor could have a bedroom reduced? Why was there no design recommendation or a possible proposal addressing that? The fourth floor, again, there's a variance request for that. Can you redo this to be less units, less bedrooms? If you have less units, less bedrooms, you have a smaller footprint, you don't need variances for side yard setbacks. 11 variances requested. I respectfully request that, on behalf of the neighbors, that you reject this proposal as is, and we as a neighborhood would truly like to see a beautiful gateway entrance that has less amount of requested variances in this situation. Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, there's not 11 variances, just so that the board and the public's clear about that. Variants are listed on Mr. Shule's report, page 7.
Please come forward.
Pat DeHart, 3429 Haven.
What was your first name?
Pat DeHart, D-E-H-A-R-T.
My address again?
3429 Haven.
Thank you.
You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes. I wanted to address the curbing that you spoke to in the alley. Last month I came and testified that alley is narrow, and someone from the board said, nope, they're all 15 feet. So I left the meeting, my husband and I went and measured it, and where that trash disposer or whatever that white thing is there, from that curb to the other curb is 13 feet 8 inches. I want to enter that for the record because it's important if you're going to address the curb.
You have to stay right focused to these five items.
But the curbing was brought up.
I am just saying.
That's my only comment.
Thank you. Anyone else on this side? Yeah, come forward.
Hello. Harry Vanderslice. 216 Victoria Lane, Ocean City. First, I'm going to thank you.
Please raise your right hand.
Oh, sure.
Mr. Vanderslice, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes, I do. So I want to thank the board for all your guys' hard work. I know you've had a bunch of hard projects you have to deal with, so it takes a lot of insight and a lot of work. So I appreciate what you're doing. So I've been following this from afar over the last couple months, and I finally, I mean, I own a building at 34th Street, 34th and Central, in the Gateways Out. I know it's a tough zone to do anything. It really is. So is it the best zone? I don't know. You have to think about that. But there's a lot of changes coming to 34th Street with the sea spray coming in, with the new road coming in, with the new playground coming in. There's a lot of good things that are happening on 34th Street. And I seem to think that this is, you have to build something. I mean, I've been here my whole life. 34th, that corner has always been a hard corner to work. It's just a tough corner. I always thought, like, what can you do there? So I think they came up with this about as good as you could probably do for something like that. But, you know, with what you have to pay for the land to do something. So there's the economics that you have that are involved. So I just want to come and support it, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Julie Frasca, J-U-L-I-E-F-R-A-S-C-A, 1004 Asbury Avenue.
Please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth.
Thank you again. I just want to say on the five and really six things that we're talking about tonight, I do appreciate the changes that were made. I thought that they were thoughtful. I thought that they were considerate. And I like the changes. I appreciate the fact that it's a raised building, which provides more than enough parking, and it gets ahead of flooding. And that's really all I want to say. I do like this project. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, on this side of the room, anyone? If not, I'm going to close the public. Here we go. Step right up. Name and address for the microphone.
Yes. Good evening. Mark Grimes, 109 34th Street.
Mr. Grimes, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
I do. Good evening, panel. And again, we appreciate everything you guys do. Obviously, it's a hard job. On the items that were presented tonight, I thought the second go-around was good. I was at the last meeting. I thought all your suggestions were great, and it sounds like most of them were met. I think the building's beautiful. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And so I just think everybody I've shown this plan to, I haven't heard one big comment. So if it's not this project, I really don't know what it is. This piece of ground sat there for 2 years unsold. Finch was the only one that stepped up to buy it, to beautify the corner. It was a very busy corner to begin with. If I was an alien and listened to the public and listened to everybody at 34th Street, you would have thought everybody on that block didn't have a gas station on their block, didn't have a playground on their block, didn't have an Acme on their block, didn't have four real estate offices on their block, didn't have food stores on their block, didn't have a miniature golf course on their block. You would have thought they bought the gardens. We listened to them. So that's it. I hope we approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on this side, please come forward. If not, I'm going to close the public. Do I have a motion to close the public?
Adams.
Do I have a second?
Adams.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public is closed. Back to the applicant for closing.
Questions? So, the changes that were made from the last hearing, obviously all of the five changes to the building were thoughtful. They were done in collaboration with comments taken from the board, comments taken from the public. The sixth change, the REAL Act, is a real thing. We know it's going to get adopted. We know it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem for this property. It's going to be a problem for every property. So that change from then, last hearing, to now is impactful to the point where I think it mitigates and mandates a building being built like this at this point, because something's going to be built there, and who knows, maybe higher. To take Mr. Loper's comments from the last hearing and to reiterate them. The residential drives commercial. It drives in the downtown. We see how successful the downtown is. We see how successful Asbury Avenue is. It drives it here in these zones that allow for mixed use. Everywhere where you have these mixed use structures, it's successful. It's successful at Randazzo's. It's successful at the George property. It's going to be successful at this property. The Seaspray condominium is going to set the bar. When you come over the 34th Street Bridge and you see that massive structure that's going to be there that does not require really any approval from you at this point, it's going to be earth-shattering. And this building is going to pale in comparison because this building is really only parking a commercial level and two residential levels with five units on a 10,000 square foot building, a 10,000 square foot lot. Randazzo's is 7,000 square feet. Dick George's is 7,000 square feet. We have a property that's 30% larger here, but yet one extra unit to Randazzo's, and conforming parking, fully conforming parking, residential and commercial, which never, ever, ever happens in my 20-plus years of presenting applications. It's one or the other. We don't need a variance for any units. We don't need a variance for any setbacks other than two parking spaces. We need to have the height of this building the way it is, and the half story the way it is, in order to drive the commercial, in order to make the project successful, in order to have the building look the way it does and not look silly with a half story. For all those reasons, at the last hearing and tonight, we presented enough testimony and evidence to allow the board to grant the request for relief, the variance relief, preliminary and final site plan approval, and the waivers that are outlined in the two professional reports. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
May I have a motion in the affirmative for approval of the applicant's application for preliminary and final major site plan approval, conditional use approval, and variance relief for building height, number of stories, landing size, commercial ceiling height?
Yes.
Truck per signage, is that still?
Yes.
For the location? And, Mark, was that correct? And the front yard setback will allow for two parking spots.
Two parking spaces are partially in the front yard setback.
And the waivers that are listed in the professional reports.
Isn't the commercial parking still off? If they were to put a shopping center, it doesn't comply, correct?
We're not doing shopping. I mean, obviously, if it doesn't comply with the parking, it's got to come back for relief.
Okay.
Based on what we've heard from our solicitor, do I get a motion from someone?
Becker.
Do I have a second?
Barnes.
Can I get a roll call, please?
I just want to put on the record, even though Mr. Shepard participated, he is ineligible to vote. Roll call, Mr. Allegretto.
And I'm going to do a caveat to this. Make sure you state your reasons. We used to get that all the time.
Yes. Thank you for your reminder.
Just in case you forgot.
So, obviously, the gateway zone is a very specific zone to the 34th Street. Certainly, this was created back in, like I said, 07, 08, 09, somewhere around there, was to try to enhance coming into 34th Street. From that, certainly, you have the Randazzo's building, the George's, or whatever the restaurant is, that building to the south. Really, only once Potter developed. Using the residential, because the rest, if you look from the west side of west, going that way, it's all pretty much pulling more of a drive-in business feel with all the units there. It's not really, residential's not taking advantage. So I understand that with the value of real estate, you know, residential has a key component if we're going to really redevelop these buildings. You know, so we have this, now the height came in as a state requirements are kind of, you know, listen to the arguments made, it's probably going to happen anyway at a point in time where the buildings are going to go higher. So you're probably looking for a little more height than what would be allowed there. I mean, in my mind, I think I stated when last time, I think this feels like a lot of building. A lot of that comes from, you know, it is 2.5 stories. You say 2.5 stories, you think that means height, but it actually allows you to do a complete, you know, half of the third story. And they're asking for a complete third story. I mean, right now it has three
three bedrooms and two four bedrooms. You know, we took out the dens, especially up in the top levels, so we didn't consider a five bedroom, but space is still there. And certainly labor changes, I think that we request, we appreciate. I think that help makes it a good building as far as for residents, for what they're looking for in accessories. I'm still conflicted looking at the full third floor, from the upstairs to the third floor. Obviously, it's not up to the applicant to present, but this is what it looked like if they didn't get it, and this is how it is improvement. We have to envision that ourselves of what that could look like. I mean, I certainly understand the applicant. What they're looking for is going to argue to have the third story, and it certainly looks nice in there. It's just thinking the function of the building and what the intent of the gateway zone is. So this is tough. I mean, you go back and forth. I understand the needs and what they're looking for. I also understand, you know, what the neighbors are talking about and what that does to that. So ultimately, I'm going to vote no on this just because I feel it's still too much on that third floor, so I'm going to vote no.
Mr. Barnes?
So I agree with Mike. This has been a hard one to look at, and I really appreciate the Bechtel's efforts on this building itself, and I really appreciate the public comment on both sides of the argument. So I'm looking at this site. It's 100 by 100. There's no hardship on the site. For the same reason that Mike stated, and I appreciate Dean Adams' conversations about that half floor, what that does to the building, what it does to the density. Now, I like the look of the building, but I think that extra half floor is going to push me to a no.
Mr. Becker?
I'm also going to vote no for the previous statement.
Mr. Adams?
I'm a pretty pro-development kind of guy. Everybody knows that. And I do like the look of the building, despite what others have said. I want to see a very nice building constructed, developed, built, sold, used, occupied, bustling, all those kinds of things at this corner. This is probably one of the hardest ones I've had to do in 15 years. Said, and I look at this third floor plan, and it's
Mr. Loper?
I have to agree with Mr. Adams. I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, I appreciate everyone that's come out and spoke. I think that if you did the half story on the top, depending upon the architectural rendering of that, it could be good or it could be a disaster. I look at the massing out on the corner, and that half story could be masked right out on the corner the way that looks now, with nothing behind it except flat deck. I just don't know. I think all the other variances are in keeping with what has to go there. And I'm going to vote no on this only because I think that something could have been done to that third floor. And there was a lot of discussion on that at the last meeting. The other thing, too, just for the public's interest, if we were sitting here in 1933 or 32, this could have been a hotel. Everything south of 14th Street is triplexes and hotels in 34, 32. But what's replaced it today are our duplexes. So when you look at the development of the island, the 32, 34 ordinance talked about awnings than anything. It's bizarre, it's 2 pages thick. So it's, I would think that if they could come back at some point with a better top floor somehow, it would be more beneficial to the neighborhood. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Consistency report for us, Mr. Schultz. Yeah. We're going to take a temporary time out for a couple minutes until we complete the room. Can I get everybody's attention, please? We still have stuff to do. We're not done. So, in the hall, close the door behind you. Consistency on a residential mechanical measure. 2601.
Mr. Chairman, we already heard a little bit about the New Jersey's resiliency and landscape regulations that have been adopted by council by New Jersey government. Have a consistency report on ordinance 2601 that was introduced by City Council February 5th. Due back to City Council for second reading, public hearing on February 19th. The ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 25, Zoning and Land Development Ordinance. If you've been through this drill before, so you know what the Planning Board's responsibility is, you need to report back to the City Council within 35 days. Within 35 days.
35.
Of the submission from the, or referral from the city clerk. Revisions, the ordinance summary on page 2, revisions to the definition of zoning flood elevation embodied in the ordinance are in response to the resilient environments and landscape RIO rules, which were adopted by state on January 20, 2026. These regulations are part of the New Jersey PACT initiative, represent a major hurdle hall of land use standards to address sea level rise and extreme weather. And I've given you just a little snapshot on page 2 of what the key provisions of the RIO rules are. I'm going to go through those tonight. Again, we kind of touched on this at the last meeting. We're going to do more of this as time goes on. We took a look at the ordinance. We took a look back at the master plan. There are master plan goals which are supported or consistent with this ordinance. There's a site at the bottom of page 2 of my report to encourage municipal actions, which will guide the long-range appropriate use and development of Lansdowne Ocean City. in a manner which will promote public health, safety, and general welfare of present and future residents. The second was to secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other natural man-made disasters. Actually, there's a third one, to encourage coordination of numerous regulations activities which influence land development, the goal producing efficient uses of land with appropriate development types and scale. So I looked at the ordinance, I looked at your master plan. In my opinion, the ordinance 2601 is substantially consistent with the master plan, and I'd recommend you make such a finding via resolution to City Council. The ordinance is attached to my report, so you can see what's being changed in the zoning flood elevation definition, and that's the extent. It's my understanding this is focused primarily on residential uses, and we will be seeing additional changes to the code to address other items to kind of catch up or address the changes being made necessary by the new rules.
Any questions for Mr. Short at this point?
So to clarify, it does not address commercial?
It's my understanding it was focused primarily on residential, and you will be seeing additional changes to the ZFE that more specifically deal with commercial mixed-use buildings, because the height is now is taken from a different level than residential. In most of the mixed-use and commercials, it's BFE plus one. In the residential zones, it's different. It's BFE plus two or three? Three. So there's not consistency now between the way commercial and residential are measured. So there's...
That was my next question. So are you measuring from the bottom of the first inhabited floor, both residential and commercial, measuring from the top?
These are related to the speaker. ZFE here is related to CFE. It really doesn't have direct bearing on where that first floor is or where the lowest member is. That's more of a construction issue. So it's a complicated issue because you're dealing with FEMA requirements and you're also dealing with construction codes. And they're both intermixed in these real rules. So there's a little bit of potential conflict, but you're basically going to be looking at whichever one requires the highest elevation. Sometimes it may be the UCC, other times it may be FEMA. So those are the kind of things we're going to need to, as we're moving forward. It's been complicated post Sandy, but it's become even more complicated now. But this is just the first step. This is just an initial push to probably address the more prevalent issues with residential.
I guess that's part of my concern going forward. Is it going to be, like I mentioned in the last application, are we going to be required to compress the buildings? Is the envelope going to stay the same?
Well, that'll be fodder for future discussion. I know I was involved in the post-Sandy ordinances, and there was a very concerted interest there to maintain that vertical space, let that go up and down as it needed to, but to keep that volume, to keep that space intact so that people weren't penalized. So if that's still going to be the modus operandi and going ahead with this, if that's still going to be the policy, then that's what we'll do. But that's going to be obviously something we'll need to discuss if there's going to be any pushback on that.
But at this point, I think it just raised the envelope up.
Yeah, at this point, we're just raising the starting point, and everything else above that staying the same.
Right. You're just measuring from a new height.
Right. So right now, if you're taking 30 foot from ZFE plus one or ZFE plus three for the residential, now you're just going to be taking that 30 foot or whatever it is from this new standard. It's just going to push that starting point further up.
Gotcha.
So there'll be more space under the buildings, perhaps more parking will be provided. It'll depend on where it is, and that's...
Right. So I mean, obviously, there's some additional challenges with the building with obstructions.
It may affect setbacks, because your stairs, your tread, your landings and all are going to be higher up in the air. You're going to need more tread run to get to the ground now. So it's going to affect a lot of different things in the ordinance we haven't really touched on yet. So we're just kind of getting started.
Randy, do we see commercial following suit soon, or do we know anything about that yet? It's just residential currently. Yeah.
This is just residential. This came from administration, so I know the subcommittee hasn't really gotten their teeth into this yet. I'll be having some additional discussions with legal or administration to see where and when this might go forward, and city council has some issues. I'm sure they're discussing this as well, so we may be getting direction from them. I'm not really sure how this is all going to unfold at this point, but the subcommittee has asked for information on these new rules. I provided them sort of a summary of that, but we haven't got back to the table to really start discussion on that yet.
Seems to me we're right back where we were when Sandy hit.
Looking back, I think we'll find that Sandy was easier to deal with than these are going to be. I think this is going to be another level of interest here.
The higher you go, the more complicated it gets.
I think there's going to be more issues that come to our attention that didn't before.
I mean, at Sandy, we pretty well resolved a problem that the state all looked at and kind of said, yeah, that might be where we have to be. And I'm surprised they didn't come back to us with some sort of document saying, what do you think your input would be on this one? I mean, because we were involved in Sandy input.
Well, you're shocked at the federal government?
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Signs it.
You know, I mean, it's a courtesy they could have at least extended to us. Sorry. It's the Democrat side of me speaking.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And I'm going to open this up to the public if anybody wants to speak on consistency 2601. Anybody from the public? I'm going to close.
Adams, closed.
Closed. Public's closed. Can I get a motion on consistency of 2601?
May I have a motion in the affirmative or finding that ordinance 26-01 is substantially consistent with the Ocean City Master Plan?
And we don't need comments for this, right, John? You can just say yes or no. Just clarify.
Based on what you've heard from our solicitor, do I have a motion?
Shepherd.
Do I have a second?
Barnes.
All in favor?
Aye.
No, we have to do a roll call.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, can I make one additional comment before we close? Tonight, I think, was the first night we really have gotten into granting variances for parking for RS Islands. And that's come about because we've kind of taken a fresh look at what the RS requires and how they apply and how they don't. So it's kind of opening up, I think, issues we haven't had to deal with before. We're looking at 2.5 now where we hadn't before. And there is provision in RSIS that allows for planning boards to make de minimis exceptions to RSIS requirements. So that's basically what we did tonight. But there's a process in there where an applicant is making such a request, they are to submit that in writing to the board. So I'm just kind of making that announcement now. Perhaps we need to get that out to the professionals so that they're aware of that. The board will also be required within 30 days to submit the resolution to DCA, citing the exception that was granted here tonight for parking, again because of RSI. So I just want to make the board aware of that. It's kind of a start to the new year, something we haven't done before, but that's how I'm reading the requirements. And we can talk to your board attorney about that to be sure we're all on the same page, but it does make things a little more involved as far as the process from the applicant's side and from the board side. Once the approval is granted,
it's de minimis. I have the floor.
So an
RSIS only has to do with parking.
That's why I'm mad at parking. I said floor.
Does the applicant still have the option of seeking a variance versus citing?
They can seek a de minimis exception, is what RSIS talks about, and a board can grant that.
But that's it. They can't request this flat-out variance. They have to request the minimum.
It's a de minimis exception, is the way they talk.
Zoning board.
Now, we can frame that as a variance if we want to, but But I think when that comes to the board, the attorney's going to request a de minimis exception based on NJS 5:21-3.1, which is where that is in the statute.
Can you send that to me? Send that to me, that
yeah.
The section, the NJS.
So it's just something I think that is needed to kind of clean that, to make sure that process is clean. There's not questions about it.
And then it's up to us to justify it to the state.
Well, I think the board has the power to grant the exception. The state just wants to be aware of what the board's
what
doing.
The board's decision.
I don't think they're going to take, who knows what they're going to do, but I think this exception, which is what I think we were talking about here tonight, I don't see the state having an issue with that.
Right.
If I could be so bold. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that's just.
Anything else?
That's all.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Adams.
Do I have a second?
Barnes.
Do I have a. Everybody in favor?